Continuing from verse 38 of Adi Lila, chapter 9.
Ata ichamrite brikha shinji niranta tahate ashanka fal brikhe rupar.
By the transcendental desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, water has been sprinkled all over the tree, and thus there are innumerable fruits of love of Godhead. Purport. God is unlimited and his desires are also unlimited. The example of unlimited fruits is factually appropriate even within the material context, for with the goodwill of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there can be enough fruits, grain, and other foodstuffs produced, so that all the people in the world could not finish them even if they ate 10 times their capacity. In this material world, there is actually no scarcity of anything but Krishna consciousness. If people become Krishna conscious by the transcendental will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there will be enough foodstuffs produced so that people will have no economic problems at all. One can very easily understand this fact. The production of fruits and flowers depends not upon our will, but upon the supreme will of the Personality of Godhead. If he is pleased, he can supply enough fruits, flowers, etc. But if people are atheistic and godless, then nature, by his will, restricts the supply of food. For example, in several provinces in India, especially Maharashtra, Uttar Pradesh, and other adjoining states, there is sometimes a great scarcity of foodstuffs due to lack of rainfall. So-called scientists and economists cannot do anything about this. Therefore, to solve all problems, one must seek the goodwill of the Supreme Personality of Godhead by becoming Krishna conscious and worshipping him regularly in devotional service. Should we open the windows now? You close them during the kirtan, is it? Seems a bit funny to have the fan on and the windows closed. In the midst of discussing the preaching of Krishna consciousness, Srila Prabhupada is injecting some comments about how Krishna consciousness can benefit the world, even in a material way. Often people say, well, what's the point of this Krishna consciousness? There are real problems in the world to solve, like lack of food. People are poor, people are suffering from disease, and so on. Srila Prabhupada didn't avoid addressing such questions. He wasn't otherworldly. There's a word in English called otherworldly. It means just totally preoccupied with some abstract ideas. Being so spiritual that you have no contact with this material world. And usually refers to otherworldly, the term usually refers to people who are not really there, they're just kind of dreaming. It's like a dreamy kind of state. But Srila Prabhupada is very practical. People may ask, well, what is the practical value of spreading this Krishna consciousness? And Prabhupada is making the point here that, well, there'll be no scarcity of food, for instance. Which makes me think that it's one of the great responsibilities of our movement to demonstrate this, as Srila Prabhupada wanted to show this practically through organizing agricultural communities to show that people can live simply on the land. There's no need to live in the big cities. Live on the land, live simply, and chant Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada states here that the only real shortage is that of Krishna consciousness. This is a kind of statement that this is more controversial than the certain controversial statements which have been suggested that they need extra explanation in Prabhupada's books. But this is more controversial to state that There is actually no scarcity. In this material world, there is actually no scarcity of anything but Krishna consciousness. This statement appears to go against reality. Everyone can see there's people are suffering for lack of food and lack of medicines, and there are not enough hospitals. And people are suffering, really, and you're just singing in the streets. What are you doing to help people? People sometimes accuse us of being irresponsible. We've left the world, turned our backs on all its problems. But Srila Prabhupada is turning this argument back on people who make such accusations, saying, no, you are the problem. We're not the problem. You are the problem because you are not Krishna conscious. It's your fault, not our fault. Because Krishna can supply everything, and he doesn't because people are atheistic and godless. So of course we have to demonstrate this also. The principle is not difficult to understand, that if we act according to the laws of God, given for living in this world, then nature, which means God's nature, as Prabhupada pointed out, nature means God's nature, will supply our necessities. And if we don't, then he'll restrict them. And Srila Prabhupada writes here, talking about the situation in India when he was writing this, that there's a shortage of food. So-called scientists and economists cannot do anything about this. Well, it seems that in India they did. Not only in India, in other countries, there was the Green Revolution, in which India went from a country which was a net importer of food to being an exporter within a few years due to introducing modern strains of wheat and rice and making new canals. And India had great reserves of grains, but what do you know? The reserves are going down and down and down, and it's the same problem all over the world. The attempt to do better than nature by introducing new methods of farming have spoiled the ecosystem, and the whole world agricultural system is a mess. So it looked like they were doing better than nature for a short time, for a few years, but now it's going to come back on them. And they don't even have all the old seeds because of the demoniac policies. The natural seeds which were there, which actually produced much better food, they don't exist anymore. Many of the varieties are extinct. So we're in for a hard time due to scientific advancement. So I'll go on to the next verse in purport. Srila Prabhupada's purports, when this issue of the adding explanations to Prabhupada's books came up, I thought, actually, it's a very good idea, because all of Prabhupada's books, every line and every word, there's so much there that so much more can be said about them. Just like when Prabhupada says, there is no scarcity of anything but Krishna consciousness. So that in itself could perform that, this statement in itself could form the basis of a whole book. So Srila Prabhupada's commentary, it's a major commentary. His commentaries on Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, they are major commentaries. They are the summation of all the previous commentaries presented for the re-spiritualization of the world. So, in one sense, we can say they are the most important. Certainly for the contemporary world, there's no question that they are the most important commentary. But there is one other commentary in English anyway, there's no need to talk about that. It was written out of envy of Prabhupada. It's useless, worse than. So, normal thing that any important commentary has sub-commentaries on it. to bring out points and explain them further and so on. So, if anyone has a lifetime to spare, it needs to be done actually. It shouldn't be done as a worship of Srila Prabhupada's ecstasies to give further notes and comments on them. Anyway, that's another subject, but that's also, yeah. Solves all the problems, yeah, and Prabhupada gave these solutions also. How to solve the petrol problem? That's a classic. What's the answer to the oil problem? Prabhupada said, don't go anywhere. Just go by bullock cart, that's all. You don't need to travel here and there. That solves then, problem solved, finished. Shortage of oil? Just, you don't need to go here and there. Grow, live locally. And in traditional societies, most people, they didn't go very far. They just lived in their village area, and they might go to another village for a wedding, or if there's a big temple, they might village that on a festival day. Otherwise, merchants, they traveled. Traveling merchants, bringing things like brass spoons, which might not be produced locally, or different herbs that might not be produced locally, or forest honey or things like this. Traveling merchants, it's a difficult life. And then sannyasis, they would travel from place to place. Otherwise, most people, there wasn't much traveling. And at the end of life, in Vanaprastha life, then people would go on pilgrimage, on long pilgrimages. Otherwise, pilgrimage, if they went on pilgrimage, it would only be for a not very much distant, because they had to come back to tend to the land and crops. So Prabhupada, he had a vision for the change of the whole society. And talking about preaching Krishna consciousness, a lot of work to do. Not to do. Srila Prabhupada had that whole vision, which he gave in his books, of a return to a more traditional society. And it's probably inevitable anyway, because Srila Prabhupada said the cheating of the scientists will be finished within 50 years. And he predicted the downfall of this artificial civilization, and it's not only Prabhupada predicting it, it's predictable by economists, ecologists, and pretty much any kind of ists. The whole thing is so frail, and how long can it go on? Just like oil, if the oil supply is stopped, then all these big cities, the people will starve within a few days. All right, anyway, let's go. Like I say, every line is, there's so much more to be said on it. Atev shab fall deho jare tare kaya hok luk ajara mare. This is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's orders. Distribute this Krishna conscious movement all over the world. Let people eat these fruits and ultimately become free from old age and death. So this is a good meditation for devotees going out and preaching Krishna consciousness. Congratulations to Tatvavad Prabhu and all his assistants for keeping the preaching fire strong here in this rather remote and not very well-known country, but it's important for Krishna consciousness that the real spirit has been kept alive. And I also must say that my thanks to His Holiness Dhanavir Goswami for keeping the preaching spirit alive. I was just seeing yesterday when I came in and saw you and ecstatically engaged in kirtan. This is the same Dhanavir Goswami who I saw 30 odd years ago when he was rather useless assistant at Bhaktivedanta Manor. And it was the same kirtan, bliss. So it's very inspiring to see devotees going on and on and on with the same spirit that Srila Prabhupada enthused them with, distributing the Krishna conscious movement all over the world. Of course, there is another well-known verse in which, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada elaborates on the principle of Prabhu Datta Desh, that certain devotees are placed in certain places for the purpose of preaching Krishna consciousness in various places. So we can understand that devotees who are born in various places, a long way from Sridham Mayapur, this center of the spiritual world, even though they're born in such places, which may seem to be an impious birth, that those who take seriously to Krishna consciousness, they must be placed there by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the purpose of spreading Krishna consciousness there. So you have a great responsibility. Srila Prabhupada, he traveled widely. He didn't only go to the big important cities. He also visited many small places, just like when he went to Gainesville in Florida, which isn't a very important city in the world situation. He said, in this remote place, and people might be thinking, well, it's remote, it's a long way from New York City. Prabhupada said, far away from Mayapur. So, it's remote. So Prabhupada went to places like Fiji, Scotland. He went to many out-of-the-way kind of places. He visited villages in India. Srila Prabhupada showed by his personal example how Krishna consciousness must be spread in all places. So, congratulations to the devotees of Finland for keeping the preaching fire going. And it's just my idea, but the whole Scandinavia area and Baltic area could maybe be enlivened by the waves of Sankirtan nectar coming from Finland. The rest of this area needs a bit of a boost. So it's a suggestion or a request that you could maybe do something to spread the ecstasy in a wider field. Okay, Prabhupada's purport to this. I'll read the verse again as it's very important. Distribute this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Let people eat these fruits and ultimately become free from old age and death. Purport. The Krishna consciousness movement introduced by Lord Chaitanya is extremely important. Well, that's true, but how important, this language cannot describe. You have to say something. Extremely important. But how crucial it is. In fact, there's nothing important in the whole world except this Krishna conscious movement. Whatever's the news in the newspapers, President so-and-so said this and that, and latest crisis, Olympic Games, all the important things going, not important. Avadhut Chandra Prabhu distributed books. That's the really important news. It's actually a fact, because by all the different political machinations, it's just the same old thing, chewing the chew. People are born, they die, they go to hell or heaven sometimes, not very often in Kali Yuga. But if someone gets one of Srila Prabhupada's books, then that changes the universe. People become Krishna conscious. So this is the actual significant thing that's going on in the world, is this Krishna conscious movement. So it's very important to understand this, because sometimes devotees, it seems from the way they speak that they think that Krishna conscious movement, it's a movement which is only meant for making peace in human society. Sometimes we present it like that. But it's just like something like the Dalai Lama or someone who goes around saying peace, peace, peace. Or it's a vegetarian movement or a Hindu organization. But actually Krishna consciousness is unlimitedly more important than green peace or red peace or whatever, any other kind of peace. Or Hinduism or vegetarianism. The Krishna conscious movement introduced by Lord Chaitanya is extremely important because one who takes to it becomes eternal, being freed from birth, death and old age. That's why it's extremely important. There's nothing, even if you're the best vegetarian in the world. I met a Jain last year when in Lithuania in the airport, and he said, "Well, you're pure vegetarians." I said, "Yes, we're not just vegetarians, we offer our food to Krishna." And he said, "Well, we are better vegetarians because we don't take anything produced in the earth like potatoes." So he was proud of being a better vegetarian. Of course, he was going on the plane, which is produced with oil, it flies on fuel produced from the earth. So he wasn't so good in that respect, but vegetarianism or Hinduism or New Ageism or any of these isms cannot free us from birth and death. Only Krishna consciousness can do that. Even Buddhism, which purports to do that, it can't actually free one from birth and death. People do not recognize that the real distresses in life are the four principles of birth, death, old age and disease. They are so foolish that they resign themselves to these four miseries. Look at this. Srila Prabhupada in a few words just captures the whole material situation. People are so foolish that they resign themselves to these four miseries. If we tell people these are miseries, they say, "Well, it's natural." They even get annoyed if we bring these things. Why are you saying that? It's natural, it's normal. Don't disturb us. You must have had this experience. I had this experience once on a train journey in India where I was pointing out that everything you're doing, and I was pointing out to the people around me, everything you're doing, all your endeavors, they're all useless because they simply end in death. And people got so upset. Just this normal, it's a fact which they didn't deny, but they said, why do you keep on talking about that? Why do you say about death? Life, we as long as we're alive, we should enjoy it. Mudha. Committed to avoid the fact that birth, death, old age and disease, this is the reality of this material world. They are so foolish that they resign themselves to these four miseries, not knowing the transcendental remedy of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. What a valuable thing we have to give. What a great responsibility we have to introduce people to this chanting of Hare Krishna. Simply by this chanting, all the problems of the world can be solved. The real problems are birth, death, old age and disease. It's very difficult to give people the solution when they don't even recognize the problem. So we have to distribute these books so that people can recognize that they don't even recognize that we have a problem. We have a problem that Finland only won 2 medals in the, I don't know how many medals they won, whatever. We didn't win enough medals, or our football team didn't win any games. That's the problem in England all the time. They're always upset about that. Oh, we have a problem, world food crisis, we have a problem. The The Democrats in America see George Bush as a problem, and the Democrats, the Republicans see the candidate Obama, his name, he's a problem. So we see so many problems, but the real problems, I don't know, petty problems, really petty. I mean, football's petty, Olympic Games is petty, but people, if their dog cuts his foot, they become, oh, problem. That ashram you have there, it's next to the cats clinic, right? There's a clinic for cats. Oh, my cat sneezing. Oh, oh, please do something for my cat. People become very upset. Srila Prabhupada told the story of Sargal Singh, that the woman was crying in the, she came to the lectures, Krishna Katha, Bhagavad Katha, and at the end, the speaker said, oh, this woman, she's got so much emotion, she's crying all through my lecture. He said, well, I'm not crying because of your lecture. I thought I could get some relief. I'm crying because my donkey died. A donkey called Sargal Singh. So people attached to that which is of no benefit to them. People are extraordinarily foolish. So people, they don't even recognize it. They take it very seriously. And going through the airports, you see on the TV this Olympic Games, or you see on the newsstand the photos and looks on the face of the athletes. It's like, you know, they're really taking it seriously. Otherwise, they couldn't be an Olympic athlete. They're really, it's most important that they jump over the hurdle and get up on the next one and beat the other person. Asadgrahat. This is called accepting that which is not real. So, the solution is chanting Hare Krishna, but people are so foolish they don't even recognize the problem. It's very difficult to get them even to recognize the real problem. So, Srila Prabhupada is stating here, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from all misery. But because they are enchanted by the illusory energy, people do not take this movement seriously. After Srila Prabhupada published his commentary, one Edward Dimmock of the University of Chicago published his English translation and commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita. I think he probably started his commentary. Yeah, he did before. He started it before Srila Prabhupada started his, and he brought it out after Srila Prabhupada finished. It was a lifetime's work. So in his introduction to that work, he assessed previous commentaries on Chaitanya Charitamrita in Bengali and English, and he wrote off Prabhupada's commentary in about two lines. He said, well, it's just produced for propaganda purposes and it's not worthy of any, not very scholarly. He's a fool. This is the commentary on Chaitanya Charitamrita, which has brought Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement to the world and brings the spirit of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement to the world. It's not just simply some dry scholarly analysis, but Srila Prabhupada's purports are fully in the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who in this verse that we're reading the purport to, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is ordering every person in the universe to distribute Krishna consciousness, and Srila Prabhupada is explaining why and encouraging everyone to do that. So Srila Prabhupada's purports are fully in the line of the acharyas, and therefore the dry academic scholars hate Srila Prabhupada's purports, or they're cynical about them, because they're committed, although they study such works and make commentaries on them, they're committed not to become followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How unfortunate. Most unfortunate. that they actually, in one sense, know a lot about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Vaishnavism, but they're committed to not making a commitment to Krishna consciousness. Because they just want to study it, just like some people in the university study frogs. They put them in the jar and they look at them. So they want to put Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a box and measure him. So they're rascals, unfortunate. Yes.
Sometimes the scholars would say that the Prabhupada didn't translate it exactly directly, but used his own twist. And you could take that verse where Lord Chaitanya orders that Krishna consciousness should be spread all over the world. Could you read the words and tell us if Prabhupada...
Well, I noticed actually that there's a twist in this very translation. Srila Prabhupada inserts the words ultimately become free from old age and death. Atayiv, therefore, which is not, doesn't come out in the translation. Shabfal, all the fruits, Prabhupada says these fruits. Deha, give. Jare tare, to everyone and anyone. I mean, just. Kaya hook. Let the. I don't know if that's even translatable exactly. Let people eat these fruits. Kaya hook look. People, ajara amare, then they'll become free from old age and death. So distribute this Krishna consciousness all over the world. I mean, that's the jare tare, means here and there to everyone and everyone. And it's clear from the context, it means all over the world.
Where is the Krishna consciousness part?
No, it's shabfal, all the fruits. So the fruits are the fruits of love of God. Which is, it's within the context. You were looking for that one, huh? Yeah. And ultimately become free from old age and death. Srila Prabhupada has inserted the word ultimately there. Which is also, I mean, even if we want to, if you want to substantiate this, we can say ultimately means that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is introducing everyone to the process of Krishna consciousness. He spread Krishna consciousness by chanting, but then people who want to take it up seriously have to follow the process, which he described to Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami compiled that in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And the process is Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha. And eventually then, Prado bhave bhavet kramaha. Sada kaam ayam premna prado bhave bhavet kramaha. Gradually one comes to the stage of prem, beginning from shraddha. So it means ultimately, gradually they'll become free. It doesn't mean immediately, but gradually by following this process you become free from birth and death. And actually, the system of translating or explaining verses not exactly according to the wording is it's part of the tradition. When commentators comment in Sanskrit, they often insert the implied meaning, or they say this should be understood like this. It's part of the tradition. So people who say that Prabhupada doesn't translate exactly or he adds something, they don't. What can I say? As well as Prabhupada says in one purport that we have to get a PhD from Ramananda Rai. So such people are envious. What is their qualification? They think if they have a PhD degree, they're qualified to speak about the Acharya, but there's no qualification. They're in the wrong dimension. They're trying to comment on transcendence while they're within the three modes of nature, and they don't realize their lack of qualification to do so. It's something like scientists long ago, people long ago, they used to think that the world was flat, and if you sail far enough, you'll fall off the edge. You'll go do 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 do. Then there'll be like a massive Niagara Falls, and you'll just go. Phew. That's why Christopher Columbus had a hard time getting his crew to go on sailing west, because they were afraid they were going to sail off the edge of the world. So, no doubt at that time there were people who were giving learned explanations of how the world is flat, but it's just stupid, because they know what they're talking about. Well, you know all about this thing far better than most, about the world being flat and round and all this kind of thing. But anyway, there's no sailing off the edge of the world. I think you can corroborate that. So, from the platform of transcendence, it's just absurd that these people even dare to speak anything. It seems, from their platform, they seem like they're very learned, but the example of Dr. Frog is always apt, that they just don't, they're in a closed up well, and they're trying to comment on that which is not within their realm of observation. Yes, please.
Someone may say that if you just study Vedas and you keep yourself confined, then you're not really a fully learned person, and you won't be able to really convince others. Unless you have a well-rounded education,
you can't convince others. Yes, that's partially true. As long as we're in this world, preaching means we have to relate to people who are a long way from Krishna and bring the subject matter of Krishna consciousness to them. So we may speak in terms that they can understand. Therefore, we find Srila Prabhupada did that. He gave examples which are not directly in the Vedic tradition, like he gave the example of the car and the driver. Of course, that's there with the rat and the rati. Or he wanted the Bhaktivedanta Institute. So, preaching does require that devotees can relate to people at some level, make some communication, and bring them up. So, yeah, devotees should at least, just like if you're in Finland, it would be a good idea to know the name of the president of the country. I had an experience once. I was in England, and I was speaking to someone who had come to the temple, and they mentioned to me the name of the prime minister of the country, whose name was Callaghan. And actually, I didn't know I was living in England as a British citizen, but I didn't know who the prime minister of the country was. I was so out of touch with the worldly news. And the person I was speaking to was surprised, and they thought I was pretty stupid. That I was British, I was living in Britain, and I didn't know the name of the Prime Minister. So it is a good idea to keep in touch with the goings-on of the world to some extent, at least. And I know that in India, where people very highly rate science, that if we can throw in a few things from science here and there, it's very impressive to people. And they tend to take you more seriously. So it's not the essence of our preaching to know about anything about the material world, but some knowledge of it can be useful. On the other hand, what's really useful is to understand the science of God, so we don't want to divert ourselves too much to knowledge of this material world. Srila Prabhupada, in one letter, he said that whatever we know when we come to Krishna consciousness, that's enough. We don't need to learn other things. So, if we already have a degree in something or other, that could be used in Krishna's service. But in general, we don't want to preoccupy, we don't want to get diverted into understanding things which are extraneous to Krishna consciousness. But then we do learn things. I mean, somebody, just as a matter of necessity, practically, I mean, so many devotees in this movement learned how to use computers, which weren't widely used when we joined. From the generation of Prabhupada's disciples, we've learned how to use them for Krishna's service. So, it's a big discussion. Maharaj, you want to say anything more about that? We, as we are living in this world and preaching in it, we have to have some basic knowledge of it. But at the same time, we should understand. What we need, and Prabhupada wanted this, is schools for training from childhood. Boys in Krishna consciousness, so they can be expert in presenting this. And Prabhupada wanted them at the Gurukul to also learn about some basic things about this world so that people wouldn't think they're stupid when they preach. So, therefore, people do not take this movement seriously because they are enchanted by the illusory energy. Therefore, those who are actually servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must seriously distribute this movement all over the world to render the greatest benefit to human society. So this is a call to action and simultaneously a rebuttal to those who think that the greatest devotees are those who simply sit in Radha Kund, for instance, and don't preach. But Srila Prabhupada says that those who are actually servants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must seriously distribute this movement all over the world. It's a very serious business. Srila Prabhupada said that we should, what was the exact term? Strain our brains? Rack our brains? Something like that to think how to spread this movement. More and more and more. There is good scope. So, how to bring that to people more and more. We have to seriously distribute this movement all over the world. To render the greatest benefit to human society. Sometimes people say, well, you're just avoiding the world. But actually, no. We want to render the greatest benefit. People who are blind to their own self-interest and who are attached to that which is against their own self-interest, they cannot appreciate Krishna consciousness. So they don't appreciate the benefit. They're called apaswartha parayana. They're attached to that which is against their own self-interest. What could be more foolish than being attached to something that harms you? But everyone in the material world is like that. It's like the cigarettes on the packet. Smoking kills. And still people they're attached to smoking. Of course, animals and other lower species are not capable of understanding this movement. But if even a small number of human beings take it seriously, then by their chanting loudly, all living entities, including even trees, animals, and other lower species, will be benefited. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired from Haridas Thakur how he was to benefit living entities other than humans, Srila Haridas Thakur replied that the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is so potent that if it is chanted loudly, everyone will benefit, including the lower species of life. Hare Krishna. It's been an active time, intense activities for the devotees here, preparing for the Rathiatra, celebrating the Rathiatra, and having two sannyasis here at one time, and the devotees look as if they've been behind on their sleep. So I'll ask for any questions and maybe finish a little early here. Well, it's not so early. So, any questions? Please. No, all right. Yes, please.
Maharaj, is it so that when we are preaching, we are being influenced also by the material nature? Like, many times I notice that when I start distributing, there is like a lot of enthusiasm, and maybe there is also this enthusiasm still remaining, but somehow the, like, this shakti or this piercing power is like going down in time.
When we preach, are we influenced by the material nature?
How to avoid
that? Well, regular sadhana, regular discussion of the importance of preaching, keeping close association with serious devotees, all this helps to keep us strong. Srila Prabhupada wanted his disciples to go to Sridhar Mayapur each year, saying that, Srila Prabhupada said that this will help to re-enthuse and recharge the devotees after a year of preaching, whatever material contamination may have been there. They should come, chant together, bathe in the Ganges together, become purified, and then go back and preach. Of course, it's not possible for all devotees to go, but as far as possible, that was Srila Prabhupada's one idea out of his many for keeping pure. When, which year was that? 1975 or 6, that Rameshwar came from Los Angeles. And Prabhupada said, well, where are all the devotees? And Ramesh said, well, we left them behind. It's so expensive to bring so many. And they're distributing books. Prabhupada sent him back. Go back to Los Angeles and bring many more. You remember that? I heard that. I was told that. I could check it. Well, maybe it's not true, but I was told that. I thought you should know that, if it was true. I'll ask. You heard that also? It's there in Transcendental Diary also. Yeah, I heard that one year I went to Mayapur in 76, but I wasn't sure whether it was that year or the year before that Prabhupada had sent him back to Los Angeles to bring more devotees. Regular discussion of the importance of preaching helps to keep our mind fixed. Why are we doing this? Why are we doing it? There are many reasons. We're doing it for our own purification. We're doing it to help others who are suffering in this material world. We're doing it to actually benefit the world. We're doing it to please our Guru and Srila Prabhupada and all the Acharyas and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're doing this because we want to introduce people to Krishna. When we read these books, we get inspiration that others should also read this and have this opportunity. So discussing these points regularly helps to keep us enthusiastic. And then you're inviting sannyasis from time to time. And just like I was inspired yesterday by seeing Dandaveer Maharaj, you also become inspired in the same way to see that devotees who, after so many years, are still enthusiastic. So that in itself is enthusing. I know for the younger devotees to see that there are devotees who are going on all their life with full enthusiasm, and that gives enthusiasm also. So like that. Just keep on going and Krishna will help you. Jare deko tare kaha Krishna upadesh amar agya guru hoya taro idesh. Everyone knows the translation of this verse. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, instruct them in the science of Krishna, in this way become a guru and deliver this land. And the next verse, kabu na badhibe tomai e bishoy taranga punarapi e tai pabe morashanga. Punarai etai. That the Kurma, the Brahmana Kurma, had said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I want to leave and go with you. I'm in Maya. I'm in Maya staying at home. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you preach, deliver this land, and if you do this, then the waves of material sense gratification will never inhibit you. And in this very place, you will again get my association. So by preaching Krishna consciousness, you can have, by doing that, you get the association and the protection of all the acharyas and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And you can actually experience that sometimes. How the whole parampara is there with you, right there, talking to someone with a hamburger in one hand and the other hand round his girlfriend and with a cigarette in that, and you're giving him Bhagavad Gita. And you can experience sometimes the mercy is there. How you can experience how the whole parampara is with you right there. You're experiencing that. You may not find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Radha Kund. You may find him outside a bar in a small town in Finland. More likely. Doesn't sound like very good theology, but it's the best. Where is a holy place? You see that bar? Go there! Distribute books. The mercy will flow there, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy flows down to the most fallen. And the attempt to pick them up attracts the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Yes, Maharaj. Concerning the preaching mood, I don't know exactly how to formulate this in the words, but at the same time, we should be preach like uncompromisingly, but at the same time, it's said that this false ego of the nowadays people is very thick, and if they get too much this kind of feeling that we are converting them.
They don't want to be converted. In English, there's a word, proselytize. So it's, you have that word in something like that in your language also? The proselytization, or the attempt to convert others, is considered something very bad in the modern Western ethos. It's all right, you can do your own thing. We don't mind, but don't try to convert anyone else. It's hypocrisy, because all the time they're making advertisements, drink Coca-Cola, buy this, buy that. They're always trying to get people to do things. But if you try to get them to do something, to pick up something in their life, then they're against it. It's hypocrisy. Yes, please. Oh, Prozac. I learned that word. I learned that word. It's a household word in America, Prozac.
So once you once you begin, and that's it.
You're addicted.
So they say don't proselytize, but once you start that, that's it for life.
And that they're over-the-counter drugs. And they're advertised or what? They're advertised in the newspapers. Take this. Really?
If I understood right, this Prozac and this was prescribed by the psychiatrist to children.
To children? Well, I heard this word a few years ago in America. Wherever I went, I heard people would say to me, "Well, I'm on Prozac," and it's like, you know, it's like talking about coffee or something. It's like a household word. And then I found out it's a drug for depression. So many people, must be millions and millions of people taking it.
Now they're giving them to children
also.
Once the child is a little bit too rambunctious, or if he's a little too, you know, gets disturbed or something, put him on these drugs.
I also saw that they have all, they've like in the last few years, they've discovered so many more syndromes and complexes. They just, if you're not just completely what they think you should be, they say you have a complex. So now they have like social integration deficiency or something. Which previously they just say, oh, this child is shy. But now they have a social integration deficiency. Give them a drug. Such rascal, though. Such rascal. I don't know exactly the terms. It's probably more complex terms they use. But they have their ideas of what you should be like. And if you don't fit into that, then you qualify for getting some kind of drug. So proselytize, yes. We can say, well, in our movement, it's being proselytized that our devotees should be normal so people would accept us. But I don't see the problem. So he said we should be better than normal. Show a better example of what we should be, what people should live like. We can, if we tell people that, you know, for the last 35 years or so, I haven't taken any prescription drugs, and people will be shocked. Oh, how can you live like that? Of course, I took some for malaria sometimes, but not for altering mental states. Yes, please. Everything about their society is totally hypocritical.
Because they say they shouldn't proselytize, but the medical companies, they have as a habit, they all time do it, they take the ready students for doctors. When they become doctors, they get the boat ride for 2 days, they're on the boat and brainwashed by the medical company. Use these drugs, use our brand. This is the way it goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole society is propagating, be a materialist from the moment you're born, or even before you're born. So why shouldn't we propagate something else? If people say you shouldn't proselytize, then you say, why not? You're proselytizing that I shouldn't proselytize. You're just doing the same thing. Why not? If we have something better, why shouldn't we say to you, we have something better? Why not? If it's for your benefit. If we've experienced this something better, why not? Yes, Ishwara Puri Das. Who is fit or who is unfit to receive it, yeah.
So
that was mentioned. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes pleased.
Does that mean that he will be pleased if we approach people who are very unlikely to take books?
If we approach people who are very unlikely to take books, well, often they take books too. The unlikely ones, isn't it? You can never tell. I remember in England once approaching someone who was, obviously he was a junkie. And I thought I'd try him anyway. He had so much money. He must have been a pusher. He had so much money and he didn't know what he was doing. He just gave me a whole bunch of money and gave me a whole bunch of books. He didn't know what was going on. So, I mean, this book distribution nectar, that's there on Pam Ho. It's full of stories of people who you don't think will take a book taking books, right? So you never know. I was just in Germany, and they say it's very, very difficult to approach the Turks. You can tell who are the Turkish people there, as they're very difficult to approach. Well, maybe someone has to find out the ways and means of doing it. If you learned a few Turkish words, I'm sure that would help a lot. There are lots of Turks in Germany. So, if you learned a few words, they'd probably change your attitude. They'd be very welcoming to you.
There's a group of Turks in Mayapur this year. About 20.
Really?
And they were very interested in...
How did they come? Someone was preaching to them?
The devotee who brought them over.
That Airavat? Was it him?
His assistant.
Oh, Navaratna, yeah. So they're doing something, actually. Actually, in Munich, we had this all-day program, and half the people there all the time were Muslims. You can see, by the way, their dresses, their facial features. So, there's hope everywhere. That's actually a big lacuna in our preaching of Krishna consciousness all over the world. Lacuna, do you know what that means? It means like a gap or a hole. That we haven't really made inroads in the... We haven't made significant inroads in the Muslim world. Whoever does that is going to get a lot of mercy. There's no doubt. It's a huge field and a very important one too. As Islam is... gaining strength. It is a major world force. So there was a time when Islam was on the decline, but it's picking up again now. So it's a tough one, but if anyone can crack that field and start to make devotees among Muslims, it'll be great service. In Los Angeles, there's a big Iranian community, and devotees report that they're always welcoming to devotees, and they like to take the books. They're interested.
So somehow I feel good that these Muslims, they are so strong for God, but maybe I'm just sentimental.
Yeah, it's pros and cons, you can say. They are religious, there's no doubt. They're not atheistic. And to actually practice Islam, you have to pray 5 times a day, starting from before dawn. For 1 month, you have to... If you actually follow fasting, according to the system, it's very austere. So, I mean, they definitely have faith in Allah. It's very strong faith. It's not what would be classified as a sattvic faith, but it's faith in God. It's a start. It's better than being an agnostic or atheist. And those of them who are more open, they'll appreciate it, that we're engaged in spiritual practices. One devotee who told me he was preaching in Lebanon, and he, from time to time, he got arrested. And in Lebanon, then and now, the government might arrest you, or some paramilitary group might arrest you. So anyway, he was often in prison with all kinds of militants or what's the word, terrorists or whatever you want to call them, but they appreciated that he would fast on Ekadashi and chant the holy names on regularly. They appreciated that. So, some start can be made. Some president's looking at the clock. All right, last question. I didn't look over that way. Any questions from the ladies' side? No. Peace, love. I have a seminar called Love and Peace. You can purchase that if you want the real love and peace formula. Love and peace in this material world is just a bunch of baloney. What they talk about, love and peace. George Orwell, in his book 1984, he is a material. I mean, he was not a devotee, but he could see through all this hypocrisy. He said in future there would be three ministries. The ministry of love. Wait a minute. It's the ministry of peace, which wages war. The ministry of truth, which tells all lies to the people. And the ministry of love, which persecutes and tortures people. So, the three ministries. Yes. Yeah. All right, okay. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Sri Krishna Sankirtan Ki Jai. Finnish
Maharaj Ki Jai.
ISKCON Finland Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.